There is one by this well this morning who could quench your thirst. What you're thirsting for? Thirsting to see the living God in your own life, in your own home. That same one could give you that water to drink today. Yeah, it depends on what you're thirsting for. A fountain that frees the soul. Oh, he's offering it to you. Come to these waters. Come and receive it. Come lay your burdens down. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a vast supply. There is a river. Oh, that never, it's a promise. Never shall run dry. Let's bow our heads one more time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for such a promise, such an invitation, such a blessed assurance to know you are standing by this well again, Lord. Oh, God, ready to meet every need, to quench, to satisfy that thirst in our souls, whatever we are thirsting for this morning, Lord. Oh, God, you are here to satisfy it with your living water. And we pray, dear God, that he that believeth in me, as the scripture saith, put that faith, put that revelation, what the scripture says, Lord. Let it be quickly inspired in our hearts, Lord, that we can be filled out of our innermost being this morning. From deep down within, Lord, can flow rivers of living water, abundant supply this morning. Oh, God, may you grant it today, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that the Holy Ghost which overshadow this meeting, overshadow everyone, Lord. Take us up in the divine presence. Let the power of the living God, oh God, move deep down in our hearts today, Lord. Free our soul from sin, Lord. Hallelujah. And fill us with your faith and your power. Strengthen us with might and power in the inner man. Grant it, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask it, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to St. John 8 and Proverbs 4. Just going to wait a couple of seconds. These are my sisters coming in. And I just want to give them an opportunity to come in and settle down quickly. Just get them sisters in quickly for me so we can just. In John 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth can't make you free if you don't know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall make you free. Then answered him, we are Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? We were singing a little while ago, free our soul from sin. They thought they was free. But he wasn't talking about natural bondage. He was talking about a soul bound with unbelief, that the soul couldn't believe the word in the way they should believe it to make it work. But believing is not saying, I believe that, I agree with that. I'm not believing it really. Believe it that you can make it work. These signs shall follow them that believe. You shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. Then said this, answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. That is his response to the question when they asked him, how sayest thou, you shall be made free? So he's beginning to show the kind of bondage he's talking about now. Whosoever committed sin, that sins, sin, is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house, but the son abideth ever. See, a servant have a master, and a master is rule over a servant. But a son is heir. A son is lord of his house. A servant is under rulership. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them, my sayings, my words, not depart from thine eyes. In other words, your eyes must be fixed on his word. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Attend to it. Hear it. Keep your eyes fixed on it. And keep them in the midst of thine heart. That looks like the midst of thy word have I hid in my heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Amen. My word is health to all your flesh. In other words, I am the Lord who healeth thee of all thy diseases. How it comes? By the word. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, as we endeavor this morning to help instruct your people in righteousness, we can be taught the principles of your word. And we can know how to approach you and relate to the promises that you have given unto us and have died and made secure and sure to each and every one of us. But Lord, we pray for enlightenment that we might know how to approach you according to your plan, knowing that you are a God who has a plan. And we can receive what the plan has promised unto us. And we can benefit from it and live lives that would show forth your grace and your glory. Instruct us today. May we be edified and strengthened. And may this church, this assembly, this body of believers be built up in true faith and understanding in the power of God and in the word of God. Grant it, Lord. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name and for your sake. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat? We want to go right into the word a little bit and just keep speaking to you, because it's such a present need that we send. We sure want to keep the objective that we have in our hearts in these little services right before you constantly, that we could be constantly abiding in his word. We could be walking with a true revelation in our hearts of who we are. This morning, I'm sure if I would ask any one of you, stand up and call your name, where you live, how old you are, different particulars about your natural life, would you know your father, would you know your mother, and different things. There will not be one person here who would be unable to say those things. Because you didn't just learn it. You didn't just learn what your name is. You didn't just learn where you live. You didn't just learn who your father is as some information. But there is a deeper reality in your heart that you are really that person. And if I would stand here and use the power of my human intelligence to try to dissuade you that you are not that person, you're making a false claim, that's not really you. You may become very resistant to even sort of pull out your identification. Some of you may be having in your possession your identification card or your driver's permit or something that could further substantiate that you are who you are. And if you would even be called, you know, in a court of law and be challenged whether you are that person or you're making a false claim to that identification, you would stand up and resist and even go to the extent that you might be willing to die. Nobody could change your mind. You are who you are. And if on the basis, if we look at the principle by which we believe we are that person. You see, when I born, my parents tell me that's my name. These people are my parents. And you know, people may even bring very technical questions. I said, did you ever take a blood test? Did you ever check your father's blood and your blood to see if you're really that man's son and you ain't grew up in that home? Like a foster child and made to believe that. You may even search within yourself and come up with reasons why you can still feel justified that you are who you are. And you might say, well, I resemble my father. I walk like my father. I ways. We sort of way like my mother. And different things. And you may even show things now that goes a little deeper than papers and name and photographs. You may go into behavioral pattern of the life and characteristics that can be manufactured or a title attached to you, but can only come by a birth of a seed, being part of a certain life. And if that can cause you to have such strong claims and such unmovable faith in natural identification, then that natural is only a type, is only a negative of a real true identification. That there is a lineage in God's word. There's a genealogy. There's a birth that takes place. There's a characteristic that the believer carries in the life. That I didn't come by joining a church. And say, I joined this church, and this church is wear hat and is wear long dress and long sleeve. So I belong to this church. So that's why I'm a Christian. No. There are certain things that you're born of that word. And your spirit, your life carries certain traits that is beyond what a person can join who ain't born. And when you're a Christian, start to live in that realm and function by that principle, your faith is grow to become so strong that nobody could dissuade you that you are not a son or daughter of God. The same way they can't tell you that you're not who you are according to your natural identification. See? Somebody going to say, you're not Valdez Nunes. You're from, you know, you're born in Spain. And you really come down here, you know, on vacation when you're small and some tourists leave you. And a whole mishap, and then some people, they saw you and they grow you up and different things, and you know, you carry that name, and that's why I get a name, Nunez. And no, she said, no, you have it all wrong. Maybe that's somebody like that, but that's not me. I'll tell you how I come about this name and where I really come from. See, how when I talk a little differently because people around me. See, that's one of the traits I have. I tell you, I ain't from here. I ain't from Spain, because we have Spain and we have a Spanish tongue. But I'm from St. Vincent. And I come over here, and the way I get the name Nunez, I'm married to somebody called Hollis Nunez. See? And then now, you see, she could begin now to go back in her own life then and know really and truly that what you're saying, I don't know where you got information from, but how you're applying that to me, this is how I know who I am. And my father was so that lineage. Now, it's the same way. Now, when you see somebody now know who they really are, you know, it makes them so different. Like the Pharisees, there was a Pharisee. There was a Jew, there was Abraham's seed. They was claiming identification. We are Abraham's seed. When Paul and they come, he said, look, a Jew is not just a Jew outwardly. God didn't talk more than that. God go deeper than that. And he says, Abraham's seed is them that are in Christ. Not just because you say, but Jesus went a little further. If you are Abraham's seed, you will believe me. God, Abraham rejoiced when he saw me. And Abraham is really his faith. That's the real Abraham God was dealing with. God didn't deal with the man, the flesh man, Abraham. So if you're ready for that man's seed, how come you have that man's faith? If he could have recognized God when God came in flesh and say, Lord, and wash my feet, how come you calling the same one come in flesh again, the devil and Beelzebub? You see what I'm saying? So if you have that seed, how come you have that life and that characteristic like Abraham had? He says, sure, you the way you talk and a lot of history you can quote and so on, you know, it's you're showing it's like an Arabian or Ethiopian or something. See, you sound like a Jew, really. And the Jew maybe can trace the line back to Abraham. He said, but I question certain things because, you know, you're in the bondage of unbelief, and Abraham didn't have that. See, Abraham's target not true unbelief. But you're a servant of sin. Now, if we say we're born by this message that comes through this prophet, B-R-A-N-H-A-M, like Abraham, and we have this seed, then we can say, I'm Brother Abraham, look at this book, old book. Look at a picture in your house with a pillar of fire. We think I'm doing that to my house as a believer. That in your house to make you a believer. That is false identification papers. Say, look how I went along. Just how many in the message? I'd cut me here and paint my face. Is that in the message? A different denomination? That'll make you a believer. That your flesh fits of the soul. See what you're talking about? So, here now, when we look at faith, now Jesus lived in that world. That the world he lived in. That he knew who he was. And the clash he had with them, they said, you making yourself God. And they were seeing him taking on an identification that they find he didn't look like he should have that identification. And he said, don't believe me, believe the works that testify who I am. But no man can do these works except God be with him. They themselves say it too. So the thing is, when we can see something in our life to let us know, because you know a lot of people who just take on identity, or they come to a rude awakening many times, and they get a natural life too. You may hear boy girl grow up one day say, Father said, I tried to hide the truth from you, whatever it is, but I'll let you know now. You ain't really my son. Then, what is happening? It comes to identification with that. I'm somebody else. Now, I said, many will come to me that day, and I'll say, I never knew you. But they're coming, Lord, they're claiming something. And what they saw, they thought that there was an affinity. Because how could a speaking tongue, how could a prophet, how could a cast out devils if there wasn't an affinity with that supernatural?
So they were claiming, making a claim on him. And he was saying, in other words, I never knew. In other words, you can't make no claim on me. That claim you're making, I belong to you. Now, this is where that when a person can look in their own life and see certain things, that is thereby predestination. God put it there. God sent you to this world like that. You come and you can't help but believe. You can't help but recognize this message. You didn't take a course in how to recognize a prophet before you recognize a prophet. The thing that you did and receive in your day, that response came automatic. When you had to be baptized, it was something truth confronting you. You're baptized wrong. And you say, oh yeah, in truth, yes, see it, yes. And you can't help. And you had to start, you throw off that quickly. Because that was something you had claimed, but really wasn't part of you. I want to realize it's not part of you, it's not part of the line that you come from. You throw it off. And instead of be identified what really is part of you. Now, this is the thing in a person's life, when you begin to see these things, it begins to bring such an awareness. And as God makes it more and more real and show you more and more evidence in your own life, confirming to you by the evidence that you are part of His. That takes the fear and doubt out. And that becomes your identification papers. But when you stand there, like the prophet made him stand and say, he says, this commission that has been ministered to me by an angel from the divine presence of Almighty God. Now, he knew if that angel tell me go and do this, and that angel, when he spoke, was according to the scriptures, and that angel used the scriptures to show me my birth and my strange life, that I thought was the devil. No, he didn't change his life. He changed his understanding about his life. He had the wrong understanding about his own life. Though his life was correct and scriptural, his understanding about his life was wrong because his theology was mixed up. So the angel just can't say, no, 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 you have it all wrong. That's not the devil. That's of me. That's the Bible. That happened already before. That's promised for this day. That's what I'm supposed to do. And understanding started to change. And he started looking at his own life and what he was called the devil. He realized that was God now. He didn't get a new nothing. The angel just removed the wrong understanding about how you've seen himself. And you know the thing about it was? He accepted it. And he walked out there now and said, upon the basis of that now, I'm going to face the world of seventh grade education and nothing will stand before me all the days of my life. And he went for that. Now when the same angel comes and tries to take your strange life and tries to change by the word, why is it so hard for you to accept it? You say, well, that angel, you know, if an angel comes to me, then I'll believe it. But if an angel comes to me and he speaks according to this word, something will be wrong. It'll be an angel. So it wasn't the angel or how the angel come, it was the word. Because that makes a difference. The angel could do what? Got big wings, 14-foot wings. The angel could be 10 feet tall. Whatever the angel could be. If you don't speak according to this word, it's not the angel of the Lord. And if he comes, you have to speak according to this word here. Is that right? So the thing for you to know, because you are the judge whoever come to you. And when you judge, then you can receive. If you just receive without judging, you don't know what you're going to be deceived. Because you are told to judge before you receive. Prove that which is good, and then hold fast to that which is good. So before you can accept anything or receive anything, you must know it is the word of God. Because faith cannot hold nothing. Let's make these things plain. Faith cannot hold nothing that is not the word of God. What you identify as faith in your own heart is that which cleaves to the word of God. Not what you feel. Not what emotion it brings. Not how powerful it makes you. It's whether it holds to the word. If it don't hold to the word, then it's not faith. Because faith will only hold to the word. Faith is not loose. But Ram says, the doctor says, yeah, let me read it for you. If God be with all the miracles. Someone said to me, one time I know the doctor was talking about a miracle that had happened. sick person. He said to me, "Preacher, don't you believe if you told people to go and talk?" Or a radio. Or a TV. You can't be touching it. Faith is not that loose. It's got to be based on some noted fact. You've got to know something about what you are having faith in before you can have faith in it. So, we must first know how and what. What God desire is, what God plan is, and how to approach God by that plan. And then we can walk up boldly to the throne of grace and plead what the plan has promised. Amen? Then we can walk up boldly to the throne of grace and plead what the plan has promised. So it means until a person knows what God's will is, they can have no basis for faith. For faith is a revelation of God's will. If you don't know if God will to give you the Holy Spirit, you can't faith in receiving it. You can't expect to receive it. You don't know if it's available. You must know what it is. You must know it's given to you. You must know the results of it when it comes before you can have faith to start a belief for it. Now, many times, some feeling moves us without we understanding what we're believing for, whether it's promised to us. Without knowing about it, many times, feeling moves us towards these things. But that's why we don't get it. That's why people don't get healing, though healing is available for all. But all will not be healed, because all don't move into it. The Holy Ghost is available for all. But all can't move into it, so all won't get it. Only the ones who are dangerous will be able to move into it because they have something to cause them to move into it. Because then the word tells us, you know, he that cometh unto God now must first believe that he is. How could you come to God expecting it? How could you come to me expecting that I am? And I can give to you what you want before you come to me. You're going to say, but if I want $20, I say, you know I have $20? You think I can give $20? You better tell that bankrupt now. He's like, I didn't know, brother. Sure. Well, then you didn't come with faith. But you have to know something about I have in it. You will give it to you before you come first. No, it's that simple. So you know how people in their mind many times, they grab into the senses. By a feeling, but it disappears when the trial comes because it's not faith. That when faith knows when the trial comes, faith will bulldoze you through the trial, stand up and move back the trial and take what it is. Because it is revealed that the thing is really there. Trial or no trial, the sun is still shining. The cloud is just blocking, but the sun is still shining. When the dark cloud moves back, the sun will still be there. Sure. But when you're sure the sun's shining, you see dark cloud, it's still, wait, now in the wrong place. Maybe the sun's somewhere else. I'm going to look for where the sun is. I thought the sun was here. Is that the sun there, but blocking? Is that dark cloud blocking it? And you've seen it. You have to know first. When you know, whatever promises is good, all God promises is based on faith. Let these things be real in your heart as we try to go into it. And I'll try my best. And God help me to bring it to you in a way that it could really help us. So until a person knows what God's will is, they can have no basis for faith. Because faith is expecting God to do what we know it is His will to do for us. Faith is a revelation of God's will. God's will is His word. God's word is His plan. And God's word show, the Lamb was slain in the mind of God. Man fell. The Lamb was manifested. The Holy Spirit was given. He's come back. Everything was redeemed back in that sacrifice. Faith, that's the plan. But the thing is now, faith now is not the plan. That's the plan. Faith is the revelation that plan covers you. And His word says that you, he whosoever will, let him come. So it covers you right there. So then you, knowing that is God's will to do that, When you come, you can expect it because you know God can't lie. If God lies, then Jesus Christ died in vain. Then if that word is wrong there, then which one is right? So faith must believe that that word is true to begin with. Because if you don't believe that that word is true, you can't really have faith to expect to receive what the word promised. That's why the angel tell the prophet, if you get the people to believe you, it's the same principle. A man can help you if you don't have faith. That man there represents God. Is of God. Is sent from God to help you. That's why he says, think on this as right. Think it as good. Say, Lord. You know, he said, don't think of it as a devil because it will do nothing for you. Because why? Your attitude. Your right mental attitude towards the promise. In other words, your mind. Your mind must be renewed. Your mental attitude, your thoughts towards it, your attitude towards it, the way you think about it. But you can't have a mental is mind. Attitude is behavior. That behavior comes from your thoughts and your mind towards this thing. And if your mind is, I'm too sure, how certain is really going to happen? It don't seem secure to me. It seems like a, you know, like it's a one in a million chance. In every detail is sure. It's perfect. And if your mind want to think the word of loopholes, then the devil is sowing seeds of doubt and getting you to believe your doubts about his word. And your doubts in you will paralyze your faith. That's why faith will be fixed on something. When somebody having faith is fixed on something, because faith is revelation. Revelation is to reveal. To reveal is to make known. So God is making the thing known to you by bringing his thoughts. For the revelation has come as thoughts. It's God putting his thoughts now into your mind, so you thinking now with God understanding, with God mind, about what God promised. You're not trying with your carnal mind to figure it out. No. Because carnal mind is enmity with God. That's the reason that I cast that down. But when God is putting his thoughts in your mind, it is his word about what he said being revealed to you. You're seeing it in the light that God presented it to you. You've seen this. Jesus died for you to make this available, because God wanted to give it to you, because God's will for you to have it. And it is secure because he himself has the Holy Spirit coming back to interpret it in your life when you have faith and show you accept it. You know what I'm saying? Sure, he's making it secure. So until a person knows what God will is, they have no basis of faith, because faith is expecting God to do what faith knows it is God's will to do. That's why God's will be revealed to you first. Faith is God's will first. It's God's will to give you the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus tell him, go and tarry and you shall be in Judah. Why was he telling that? Because I died. Because I rose. Because I went to the Father. Because I was accepted. And because I rose for your justification. And now believing on me, you could go and receive it. They didn't know the will of God. But then he said, reveal the will of God. And when he revealed the will of God to them, then they could go with faith, expecting to receive what he promised, because they know he will not lie. He said, handle me. Proved to them he was risen. And he opened the understanding of the scripture and showed them that is the purpose he had come for. And they went and was able to expect it, and they knew it from the word because he opened the understanding of it, and then they receive it. Is that correct? And then they're going to teach others how to receive it too. Because they knew it was a promise. That's why Paul can say, unto what have you received the Holy Ghost? And they were you baptized. Why? Because he understood the way to get it. He understood the pattern of experience. And he's going to teach it because Jesus had teach them first. That's the purpose why he came. All along through the Old Testament. How did he identify with the Lamb and all these things? He was showing them how these things have been made available. Oh, Michael, it's great when you really begin to have faith. When you really begin to know what it is. When you really begin to see it in operation in your life. Let me tell you. It's like I say, put the lights on here for me. And somebody walk up there and pull the fans twice and say, but it ain't going on, it ain't going on. And they turn the door number. Say, well, I turned the number 4 times on the door, but they go on. But it's not that. Your door is short. Walk up there, they click. And they flip the switch on. Well, they know switch just go with lights. They know that is control that. They know door number have nothing to do with lights. And that fan string have to do with fan, and the lights. You know what I'm saying? You know something about it. Then when you flip that switch, you say, either the bulb blow, current gone, but if the fan is on, you say, well, no, maybe the bulb blow, because the switch here. And you talk away, you say, okay, check it and see. Because why? You expect it when you do it. Because you reveal to you that governs that. Now, if you don't know that, then you ring that door above. And you say, well, there's something wrong with these lights, boy. Until somebody the leg of the door of your dummy, you see? You got, it's not that. So the thing is about the thing of the word of God, when you know what governs it, it's sure, and you expect it to happen. And that is the way. No, I'm trying to minister the charity, and whatever your need is, as we minister the word to you, and the challenge there, be like the man in Acts 2, when Peter said, look on us. And the man was expecting to receive it. Because they was given to him. Such as they have, they was given to him. And when the word is coming to you, understand how you come and receive it. As Brahman said, if you are hungry, you're starving, and you need a loaf of bread, and I have the 25 cents, and you have 25 cents cost for a loaf of bread, I can give that 25 cents to you and explain to you where to go and buy that bread. Okay, go wrong here, the corner, you come out to the wrong terrace, you cross the main road, you go right down, you pass the first street, you come to a shop at the corner of the second street, walk right in there and ask for a loaf of bread. 25 cents, you're sure to get it. He said, you can start rejoicing every time you get 25 cents. God, you know what you're going to buy. You know where you're going to get the bread. You know the way to get there. And when you get there, you pay the price and expect to receive it. He said, no, that's exactly what God, in his word, because it is a plan. That's why Jesus was taking the stripes. That's why he gave up the ghost. That's why he's doing all these things. It was a plan being done a certain way that everyone coming could come and expect to receive it. They could come with confidence, knowing the way to go and get it, and have you in your own home. Your sisters bake your bread, have it in your bread pan. Your children hungry, say, okay, son, go in the bread pan, look there, and have some jam there in the fridge on the door. Just open it, and you can have some jam and bread, and look at some tea on the stove. You can go and help yourself. Something is made known to him that is there for him, provided, prepared, and where it is, and how to get it. Simple like that. Now that basic thing right there that you go through like your everyday life right there, that is the same principle that come by God with. God is revealing you where it is. It's in Christ. How is it made available? By his stripes. By him laying down his life. How are we sure? Because he proved to be the perfect one. He rose for our justification. That is why the tomb is empty. He ascended on high for us. That is why the Holy Ghost come back. You know what I'm saying? And that is why God ministers you to minister those things to let you know what is yours. That you can be instructed in it because you are his children, and he can let you know to go and receive it. I know it belongs to you. Because when we know it is the will of God, it's not difficult to believe that he will do for us what we want him to do. Once you know it is God's will, and you have the faith in your heart, it's revealed to you, then it's not difficult to believe God will do it. Because God will do what he promised to do. But if you don't have the faith, if it's not revealed to you, then you ain't sure it's God's will. So one of the first things you must know, it is God's will. Exactly right. You must know God is out to give that to you. How could we show a prophet if we didn't know God didn't send one? If we didn't know why we needed one to begin with, how could we properly relate to it? If we don't know what a prophet really is, we'll question his authority too. But when we know a prophet is a mouthpiece of God, can't speak his own thoughts. It's to reflect God's thoughts. That when a man says, thus said the Lord, I mean, you don't question it regardless. Your mind can't understand it. Your human reason can't break it down. But it's revealed to you. That is God's prophet. You can stand right there. That God's mouthpiece, because your faith can be based on something in the world. It cannot fail. When you see God's vindication come behind us and God show that that man is not expressing his own thoughts, God, what God is doing is giving you a place to base your faith that will not be shaken away. That's what he's doing. Now, when you relate to the word, whenever God does something, he does it for a purpose. And God's purpose, which is the expression of his works, which is the way, reveals the way he thinks, exposes to us the kind of person he is. It shows us his nature. You could watch any man, you could watch your children, and by the way they act, by the way they talk, by the way they behave to one another, you know what kind of nature the child has. You know, if they're impatient, you know, if they're hasty, if they're very covetous, you know, if they're very vindictive, you know the nature. Just by watching the behavior, watching how they do things. You know, if they're slothful, if they're diligent, everything. If they get up, make up the bed, clean up the room. Amen, children? Help straighten out the pillowcase and everything and fix up the bed nice back and you know, clean out the room and so on and fix it like that and help because, you know, they don't expect everybody to do everything for them. It's their bed, they sleep on it. And, you know, then you begin to see, you know, you can say, that child is somebody's child. I don't know the child. All the mothers give, let's throw the clothes. When you give, the boys hang up his own, boys make up the bed, boys do it. You've seen something to cheer in. Now, the same with God. When you read God's word, what you see is how he works in this situation, how he moves in that situation, how he moves in this situation. When faith, you know, was expressed in him, how he responded over here. When unbelief was there, why he couldn't do this over here. And you started to understand things about God. And you can see his nature. And when you know him, then you can start a fellowship with him. That's the way it is. Because he is being revealed in his own word. That's why Jesus was declaring the Father unto them. He was making him plain. He was making him known. When he was speaking, he wasn't just telling stories or saying things. Through what he was saying something that carried a reflection of what God was like. He was speaking a way to make God known to them. Like if I saw her tell about my wife, I said, let me tell you something about my wife. He said, when is she pregnant? And she comes to me and let me tell you how she behaves. And he said, it's true. He's like, I never know that. But now he's saying it, you know, one or two things come to me really. We are sitting in the mother's room a day, and sometimes I notice that. And that's exactly how the word is. That's how preaching is. Because it is one you know. And when you talk about him, you got to know him. If you're talking about him without knowing him, then you're in bad business. You could be misrepresenting him. Because really, it is he in you revealing his own self. Talking about his own self. And what you experience in your life that has become a revelation to you. What you speak, and that those are the words that is spirit and life. Those are the words that will transform another one to be like him. So the thing is, until a person don't really have a basis, that's what the problem is here, is your faith does not lose its base upon some known fact. So you must first know what God's desire is, what God's plan is, and how to approach God by that plan, and then we can walk up boldly to the throne of grace and plead what the plan has promised. Because why can you come boldly? Because you're coming with a revelation of what their plan is. You're coming with a revelation of what God will. That's what the boldness is not a bold face. That's not the boldness, no. The boldness is the confidence that God is true to the plan has been revealed to you. And sure that the plan cover you. That's the boldness. Amen. Because God wants to do his will. He wants to not just do it, he wants to reveal it, and he wants to do it. But we have to be in the attitude to receive it. And then it's not hard to get God to do His will when we are faith. Because once God's will is revealed to us, it's not hard for God to do it. Because remember, God wanted to do it to begin with. That's why He came and died, even before you had faith. Because the only faith you have is when, one, He reveals His will to you. Because faith is a gift of God. It's God that gives that faith to believe for those things. So when God drops that faith for you to receive a healing, when God drops that faith for you to receive salvation, these things, when God drops that faith for you to receive the Holy Spirit, then that very faith is God revealing to you what is already His will. Because it is already set before the foundation of the world that He wants to be a savior. He wants to be a healer. That's why He designed a way to be a healer. Because He wanted to be that. That was His desire. He wanted to express that. So then you because you know that when sickness comes upon you, it don't blow your mind and have you all frustrated and feel like God didn't love you and so on and so on. No, God, before it had a sick man, had a healer. The healer was first. Before it had a lost man, the savior was first. You understand what I'm saying? Sure. That is why, you know, we must know, because before anyone can really have real faith, there must be any uncertainty in your mind concerning what God will is. Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why is he double-minded? Does anybody know why he's double-minded? He don't know the will of God. He's not certain of God, what God will is. That's why he's double-minded. He have two minds, two thoughts come battling there for supremacy in his mind. Because you have no absolute. You have no Urim Thummim to show which is God thought and cast on the other one. But every time revelation comes and strikes there, then the doubt goes. But faith and doubt can't really live together. No man can serve two masters. Is that right? Sure. So then real substance faith, because the word shows here, he said, my son, attend to my words. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. It will make you free from anything that tries to bind you. Sickness tries to hold it down, it will make you free from sickness. Don't try to hold on, it will make you feel any doubt. Skepticism, speculation, whatever it is, some oppressing spirit try to hold on, it will make you free from it. Temper try to hold on, it will make you free from it. Now if you start off right there wondering if that could be true, you're in the wrong place, right? Because His word is saying that, not me. His word say, the truth shall make you free. And He said, I am the way, I am the truth. Amen. Now watch. So real steadfast faith could only come when all uncertainty goes. Because if you dare, wondering God want to give it to me, wondering maybe I ain't right, maybe I ain't holy enough, maybe I ain't this, maybe I ain't that, and you accumulate and pile up a lot of things here. Don't forget it. Forget it. Sure. You're starting wrong to begin with. You're holding and building on the very thing that will destroy your faith. And then without word of faith, it's sin and it's impossible to please God without faith. Revelation of God's will. It don't mean that God will be beaten with a big finger. You can't please me if you don't have faith, you know. It means just you'll be trying to please God, but you'll be unable to please Him. Because pleasing God is doing God's will, and God will reveal to you. Because without revelation of God's will, without faith, you can't really please Him. But you don't know what he wants done. He may want some water and you're bringing whiskey. You can't please Him. You don't know what He wants. It's a revelation of His will. So that's what the faith is. When you know and what is His will? It's His word. So faith comes by what? Hearing the word. And the word being quickened to you, being revealed, being opened, being made known to you. Is God's will coming to you? What it is. Then it comes so clear before you. It's like walking up, saying, you wanna go in the restroom? Just go through this door. Go inside, you'll see a sign mark for ladies on this side, a door mark for men on that side. And if you're a lady, you go through this door here, and you're going to see a sink when they come up. Right. And you explain it, and person right through the word. They see the whole picture of it there. and they walk right into it. It's not complicated because it's been made plain. Someone who knew the way revealed the way. Amen. And Jesus says what? I am the way. I'm the truth. You want to know the way? Well, here it has been revealed, it's been brought to us in this day again. The Son of Man himself been revealed. It was to bring us the way in all these things. This is my beloved Son, whom I am pleased to dwell in. God had brought our one day so that his life could be a what? Stepping stone for us. That's why I see many people, they get themselves in their own little world and they get rattled up with whether this is the will of God, whether this scripture is, whether this is that, whether my experience is different, whether this is that. And they get themselves tangled up in some different knots because they don't really know what the word of God says. They're not relating to it right to really just receive with real faith that God made these things available by the grace of God. Amen. As bad as we think our case is, we can always find people with cases 10 times worse than us. And we see what God did for them. Sure. So then, when we see those things, it makes you realize, look, our attitude, our thinking, the way we think and relate it. See? Not our physical attitude here, our mental attitude. Because a man think in his heart, so is he. If you don't think about it right, you're going to do it wrong. See, exactly. So, before attempting to exercise faith, see, many people know that they usually try to work up themselves in their faith. You can't, but I'm saying the immediate Pentecost, oh, they're all trying to work up themselves in their faith, grabbing through something. Maybe I can just put back a little part of it to you. We were thinking last week about the mind and overcoming and these things. The mind accepts the life, which is the word of God. And there brings the life. Just your thought doesn't do it. Mind over matter, no, that isn't it. But your mind accepts it and grasps it. What is your mind controlled by? Your spirit. The spirit catches the word, and that's the thing that got life in it. It brings life into you. Oh, brother, when that takes place, when life comes down that channel into you, the word of God is manifested in you. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, then ask what you will. So what is coming down there to produce that? The word, his promise. His promise is saying, I want to do it. The reason, could somebody promise you something and then it's not they don't want to do it for you? It's not their will to do it? Who was telling God, oh God, go and die for them now. You know what I mean? Look at them in that case. Nobody, you know, I wish I could go, but I can't go. You, God, you can go. You go and die for them now. Oh God, you pay the price of it. God, you can do it. You do it for them now. Look at the poor girl. God, do it for Sheena. Nobody was there. Is he wanted to do it himself? Nobody was begging to do it. Is his love through salvation plan? Is his grace brought it down to man? Sure, is he that planned the whole thing and do it to show his love? He first loved us. Amen. So the question is not whether he wanted to do it. And then further, he promised to do it, and he made a sworn oath. Now, the sworn oath wasn't to just bind himself to do it, you know. That was to show us, to give us two immutable things. As an oath, to put an end to strife inside of us. So we got to wrestle and struggle and whatever God will. That was to put an end to strife inside of me and you. By oath of confirmation, is the end of all strife. Hebrews 6, is that right? Know what the scripture says? You don't know what the scripture says? When you know what the scripture says, he do that because he know they go down to the only one. So then go fight them. But let me establish the truth in the moment of two or three witnesses. Let me get about double confirmation of this thing. So he's thinking of us even before, because you already know what going to face us and battle us in our mind when we in the test here. And he put something extra there. A twofold cord will not be easily broken. Sure. Because he's thinking about you, give you something to hold on to. So you'll come out with a testimony when you go through your test. Devil will get no glory in this. God will get the glory in this. Amen. Sure. That's why you as a believer there, you get into it there real, you knowing the approach, and you get in there. And when you pray, it's settled in your heart. The problem with us, we'll be trying to get a lot of people grabbing, like a brand tub, you know. Pushing and see, you get anything? It's a surprise packet. Open. This is no surprise packet. This is a sure thing. Amen. You're not surprised. Oh, okay, what happened? I get Badu. I didn't want, I wanted something else. No, not at all. Not this thing. God business not like that at all. And not God is not even Indian giver. He don't give a take back neither. Amen. Yes, sir. He said, the word is what comes down through that channel of your thought. See? And the word is that got life in, and that what brings to life. And here's the word coming with the life in it this morning. Oh, it's tracking your mind here as you hear through your air gate. And from the time you hear through your air gate, it reflects in your reasoning. And because why? Self-will is there. Is you have to open that door and let that word in where I'm speaking. But you may have a doubt there, and that doubt inside the door is saying, no, but that's different than your thought you already have. But you already may have a thought. And say, no, my case different, and that don't mean that, and this means that over here. And he trying to say that for me because maybe he directed that to me. And you go troll in your mind right there. Now, what you gotta do now? You gotta open that door there to let this thought in and say, unbelief, you rule me long enough. You have me confused. Sometimes I feel it's God will, sometimes I feel it's not God will. You have me up and down, you have me double minded. Get out of here! I take in that word, let it come right down to your channel. Self will open up that door. I'm a free moral agent, I'm gonna have control inside of here now. Sure, let that word come inside of the air. That is the thing that have life in it. Amen. It's coming inside of you. Because remember, a seed is powerless unless it's planted. That good, eh? Yes, sir. A seed is powerless unless it's planted. Oh, the healing is right here in the word. Salvation is right in the word. The Holy Ghost is right here in the word. It's God's word. God who said it. When God said his word is a seed. But you have to put it inside of you. Oh, but you have to come to your thought. And you're going to go through the place whether you open the door or you unlock the door. Shelf will. Would you let it in or would you keep him out? See? And once that word comes on, you say, oh, brother. He says, when that takes place, when life comes on that channel, then the word of God is manifested in you. Whether it's healing, whether it's salvation, whether it's the Holy Spirit, whatever it is. Manifested inside that very word, but it starts off first by the word coming to you that says, I have already done it, and I'm revealing it to you because I want to give it to you. Receive it, amen. Sure, and then you take out a word there, and once that word gets in there, it's gonna reproduce itself after its kind. Now, what you take a natural farmer, he's gonna take a hole of plants, he said. Moon coming around. He said, I get time to plant the corn and plant the peas. And you already seen boiled corn. You can invite along for boiled corn. You can invite along for roast corn. You got some. I'll get some nice pigtail and make it up real nice and different things. And but you have it there already. You've seen it already. And he planted it, right? No, he don't go and dig it up every couple of days since it's growing. Because he know when he planted it, he's gonna bring forth this kind. And if a farmer could have that faith in nature, can't a Christian have faith in the God of nature? Couldn't a Christian have faith in the God of nature? A farmer having faith in nature is a law. He planted, he watered, it must come forth. He's got to make plans. He don't know who inviting. Go on the road and see a big pot. And say, this will be a nice big pot. We can cook it here and you can boil it. And I'll invite these saints down once and so on. We'll get this other across here. We'll have a nice time. We'll roast some corn on the fire. We'll sing some songs and different things. And because, no, he's coming. And he's preparing and making ready. Now, what he works is his first. No, he's revealed to know the rain was coming. And he's at a billy ark. It's the same thing. Because it's based on the principle, what is making the works come, is because it's going to reveal that rain will fall. And because you know that corn is going to grow, you gotta buy that pot and make all these things ready. Because you're certain that, because you are the same with the farmer having faith in nature. It's what you have in faith in the word of God. That is a seed and this is a seed. And Jesus came and said, that is exactly what it is. And he made a seed to function under that law. So we will understand the principle of his word, which was the first seed that created that seed. So when he who created that seed can come and say, my word is a seed, is a real seed. So you don't imagine what it looks like. He say, look there. When a man plants wheat, he gets wheat. And then he say, oh, that's how it is here. So So I can look at that now with the natural eye. And I can understand how the mind, the principle by which God would operate and produce the things that we're looking for. And it never puts back one grain. It always produces more. Is that right? Sure. You know, the trouble of it is we are standing here with a lot of doubt trying to accept what's out there. You've got to stop that and come down that channel with the true word of God. And then it goes out itself automatically. It's what's on the inside. That's the thing that counts. It's the inside. Satan's approach is from the inside. Satan's approach, you know, the big cat on the bounce along, where the man say, I'll come tonight and stone your house, stone, 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 and a big bunch of rage there, and I'll shoot you, I'll see you. That's not Satan's plan out there. That's only a commotion he created in the air to influence what's inside of you. And then reason come, and see, oh God, imagine and see yourself in the hospital, you had all ban up, your foot hang up, you're all beaten up in pieces and everything else. You see? Oh, you're all scared now. So you're getting a flight out of the country and you're moving out of tongue and you're going somewhere to live because fear don't take a hold of you. You didn't manage to do one thing yet. Because sitting there, put it on the inside to get to the behavior sitting away when you put a threat there. Sure. Now you say it's the same way. You gotta say, God, I can do that. And before you even wait to give God a chance to prove his word to you, you all don't make different plans and you're confused and God wants to heal me as a whole devil, as a dog, as this and the other. You know, you're condemning yourself so much already and you put someone to pick that. And you give God a chance to reach out his hand to pick you up here. See? That's exactly what happens. So you say, because remember as we started last year, that fall started right there on Eve reason right there in the spirit. And redemption started right there when Mary said, be done to me according to thy word. It starts right in the spirit of man. And the message can do that, turn the hearts back to the feet of the fathers. Because a heart condition that God is bringing back. Because the real restoration comes when the heart is turned back. By the grace of God, that is what we know is working to bring the past right inside of us. So as I say, when the sower sows a seed, and the farmer plants that seed there, you have faith, it's going to grow. You have faith, it's going to bring forth. He's expecting, he's preparing, making ready for it. As long as it remains in the earth, planted and watered. From the moment he's not going to interfere with it, he's destroying the process of reproduction. Is hindering the process of it producing after its kind. Because God put a law of reproduction and God put a process by which it is going to come. But it's all locked up in this seed and the seed is powerless until it's planted. And it can only really reproduce if it remains planted and watered. So this is where we want to strike this little Texian close. My son, attend to my words. You shall know the truth. Give ear unto my sayings. Faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word. When I speak it, you give attention. It is the attentive ear. Listen. David said, my ear will be attentive to your supplication. You listen with an alertness. You're just hearing. You're listening. There's a difference, you know. There's an attitude in it. And that's the difference from serving God by the letter and serving God in spirit. Because your heart is in it now. You're involved in it now. The revelation of it influences your behavior. If something is revealed to you and your behavior is not influenced, it's not revealed to you. Revelation influences your behavior. Your behavior becomes changed and governed by what you say really is revealed to you. But it's not just thoughts you're entertaining, it's something controlling in the control tower. And he said, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, and let them not depart from thine eyes. If your eyes is fixed on his word, then it can't be in the symptoms. If your eye on your symptoms, then your eye is not on his word. Make up your mind where you're going to fix your eyes. When I took the message for you, they brought the brazen pole. He says, look on that and live. And they was looking, fixed, steadfast. They were looking around to see who else was looking and who was looking and who set their eyes and who had a serious tear and who had a certain glance. They was looking to it and they was looking to it with understanding, because it was a look of faith. And if looking to a brass pole, catch this, I catch it real good. If looking to a brass pole, a brass serpent, that finally became an idol and they had to break it up. Prophet Hezekiah broke it up. You read in the Bible. Because all Israel started making a little idol. The same brass serpent that Moses had. And the king broke it up. Because it was only a symbol. It was a symbol of Calvary. And if looking unto that really brought healing and forgiveness, it actually brought it. People was really healed. You believe that? Then looking unto Jesus, how much greater it is. Because if that type, and looking unto Jesus can't heal, then you make that brazen serpent greater than Christ on the cross. Oh, my dad, I'm out for you. If Israelites looking on a brass serpent could be healed by looking at it with faith, and that spoke of Jesus on Calvary, then looking unto him, would it not bring forgiveness and healing also? Because if you don't do it, you make that greater than Calvary. Because Calvary is the antitype, that was the substance, that was the reality. And the people wasn't healing a type, they were dying. The body was full of poison, the fever was high. And then I step out of the tent and walk down where they had that pole. And then I look upon it with faith, and it brought healing and deliverance. When Jesus came, he knew what it was. He says, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And if I believe him, I shall draw all men unto me. And this pig is signifying of his death, that he shall die. Is that right? And when you're speaking about the new birth of Nicodemus, that's what you was telling him right there. Then how much more shall we look with faith and true understanding those things to know that it's settled for us. And when you can see God's will plainly being revealed to you, then there should not be one speck of doubt as regards whether or not the thing is so. And once that seed of his promise, get it now, you. What we plant as a seed is not what I think of, it's what God promised in this word. And say, heaven will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish the purpose unto which it is sent. And once that word comes in there, into your heart, then as long as you keep it watered and keep it remain planted within your heart, my word, you shall know it. And the truth that you know will make you free. If you attend to my word, my son attend to my word, incline thine ear to my sayings, then let not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Your eyes you understand, and your heart you believe with. See? A steadfast look upon God's word. You behold it. And we teach in the end, 2 Corinthians 3:18 about oneness and these things. It must be revealed. You must behold it. You must see it. You must look upon it. The word says, as you keep beholding it, you keep being changed. As you keep beholding it. If you take your eyes off of it, if you lose your understanding, if you got a mental block and you forget what you look like, James, and you walk away, then you get back in the same condition. But when Peter was coming out from the tent and he kept his eyes on the Lord, and when he took his eyes from the Lord and he put his eyes on the waves, what happened? He began to sink. Sure. Exactly right. I want you to know your approach. I know the principle. He said we can come with boldness and plead and give unto you. All what is redeemed back is given back to the believer as a promise. And that promise, he gave a sworn oath of confirmation to put an end to all strife in your heart concerning these things. Then, wouldn't you let that word come into your heart? Wouldn't you let the seed of this be planted? Wouldn't you correct your attitude about how to believe, how to approach? We all need to correct our attitude about how to believe, how to approach. Because we start off believing, doubt come in the mind, we change our attitude. We get uncertain. We think, you know, maybe it's not really God's will for me. Maybe my case is different. We try to find a next type to accommodate our unbelief. That get in bad shape. When we look into the scriptures to accommodate our unbelief, when the scripture was given us to give us faith and drive out the unbelief, we look into the scriptures to accommodate our unbelief. Let me show you something. In Matthew 17, here was a boy sick, epileptic, wanted to be healed. Here was the father, wanted the boy to be healed. Bring him to the disciples. Here was the disciples, want the boy to be healed. Said a prayer for him to get the spirit of the boy and get the boy delivered. The boy wanted to be healed. The father wanted to be healed. Want the boy to be healed, rather. The disciples, commissioned by the Lord, want the boy to be healed. And not one of them could get the boy healed. And when the Lord come, he says, do you believe that I can do this? He said, yes, Lord, help my unbelief. The Lord was not going to be responsible for the unbelief, for that their unbelief was going to hinder those things. Because as far as he's concerned, he said, Lord, if you can do this, he said, do you believe I can do it? Sometimes we want him to become a little responsible for our unbelief. If you believe that he can do it, he knows he can do it. He said, which one of you could accuse me of? Exactly right. You know why? Because it works. He proved he could do it. And he could do it regardless. People want it done and they can't get it done. It don't mean it couldn't be done. How many times we can make excuses and find a reason of why it can't be done? Because look, I want it done. Look, the father want it done. Look, the church want it done. And we can't get it done. Maybe it's not God's will for it to be done. He came and did it. When the church couldn't do it, when the father couldn't do it, when the son couldn't do it, he came and do it. So the thing is, when you live in this world, before you could have real faith, all uncertainty about God's will must be removed. Until a person knows God's will, there could be no real basis for faith. And when you give real attentiveness to his word, to his sayings, and you don't let them depart from before your eyes. Oh, sure, you believe. But then sight and time. Then you remove it from your eyes. And you put your eyes back on your symptoms. And you start to see, it's still here. I still have this. And then you start to make new theology now. You start to make a reasonable explanation with scriptures that maybe it's not God's will. When Jesus came and said, Lord, why couldn't we do it? You know what he says? Because of your unbelief. Using unbelief to make theology. That's how all interpretations come. You get this new interpretation, you get this new idea, you get this new teaching, you get this new thing. And all rise up, not from God, not God's word saying that. their unbelief constructing that to find a way to justify stinking, dirty unbelief inside of there to paralyze their own faith. And that's what God wants us to do. Receive that word and have faith in God. You see, my farmer, faith in nature. Water it. Don't dig it up. Water it. With your praises, with your prayer, go to thanking God for it. Because you know that it is something that He has promised. You didn't get to bargain with Him over a table and say, okay, make a dash for it. I'll cover you while you go for it. No. You're covered before you come and ask. You're covered. It's not difficult about getting the Holy Ghost. What's difficult about getting healing? It's nothing difficult. It's difficult because our mind inside of here, where the battle is being fought, need to well be straightened out. Every time the word faith comes, then it will cast down reasoning, cast down imaginations, it will pull down them strongholds and bring every thought into obedience to Christ, this word here. That is the only thing that's hindering you this morning from anything that God promised. You believe it? Satan approaches from the inside. The prophet had the vision already. He was already finished. In God's mind, then God will reveal to him when God showed him the vision. He knows the car going to be at a shop somewhere. He's in the place. He's going to see the environment to confirm to him the vision is coming to pass. But Satan on the inside saying, misunderstand it. Tell me, brother, the grass is 4 inches high, presenting reasoning. Everything else to paralyze faith. When God will is revealed, when God showed it, it's time for it to happen. When God showed him, he was the one, it was going to come to pass. It was God's will to give it to him. It was already settled in God's mind even before the vision came. But God only sent the vision to show that caribou, when it's born a baby caribou and growing up there, one day he's going to walk out there to shoot that caribou. And the preacher said, the Indian said, he's a preacher, the thing born and grow up and live here all his life. He ain't going nowhere. It waiting, it grow to this height and this size for you to come and shoot it, and you can't miss. Sure. Now the same way, when he lowered his sight and that, to pull that trigger, it was only bringing the past a vision. It was only fulfilling God's will, which was the vision of the direct word coming from God. And before he see it, he didn't know nothing about it. But it was so in God's plan, but God was letting him know what his plan was for him by showing him the vision. The same way God takes His word, which is already God's plan, and reveals it to you to let you know what is His will concerning you. And He comes to you and inspires your faith to send you out to take what is yours. Then you should not let nothing hold you back. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to let it rest here in your heart. Let you meditate on it. Give you today and tonight to think about it. That when you come back tomorrow, we can exercise a little bit of it. But I want you to think on it. I want you to meditate on it. Read the scriptures in quietness again when you go home. Think about it. Let it minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit minister them scriptures to you again. And then search down through your life. Let God just bring to you places where you can relate to it by a personal experience and see how many times God wants to do something for you, but we can't get the arm in the sleeve. We can't seem to move into the channel. And when the will of God is being made known, how Satan approach comes from the inside and tries to hinder us. But this time, your determination will be different because you'll act upon the word. You wouldn't just leave it there. You recognize it to be the truth and you're going to act upon it to see it come to pass. You'll water it And you know that God will give the increase. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we believe you have spoken to our hearts. Believe your word is clear, it's plain before our eyes. We thank you for this. For it takes the inspiration of your Holy Spirit to take this scripture, make it plain, and open up the way. You have put a key in our hands, Lord. A key that could unlock the door that keeps the promises of God shut up. And Lord, when we have a key, we don't have to struggle. Many of us will go back to our homes and we wouldn't try to climb through the window. We wouldn't stand if we see the door locked and become all frustrated. We'll go in our cars and we wouldn't just get confused and wonder why the car won't start. It'll be so normal to take the key out of our pockets, out of our purses, slip it in the door hole, in that keyhole, Lord, and turn that key, expecting to hear it go click, and then pull that door open and walk right in and have access to what is behind that door. So, Lord, this key of faith, may we hold it with a strong hand. And dear God, may we unlock what we have need of. May it take away the emotion, the confusion of mind, the uncertainty. May it bring stability, Lord. May it anchor our soul. May it put an end of all strife. May it bring peace and give rest, which true faith always brings in the heart of every believer. May the soul become so anchored and tied to the tie posts of your unmovable, infallible word. And may by experience we see these unfailing realities. And may when we see the word proven, may we hold fast to that which is good. Granted, Lord, I pray. Let your spirit quicken these things. Inspire, bring it back in remembrance. Fill our minds and our souls with it, Lord. Energize our spirit and our soul with it, Lord. Let it create such an atmosphere within and around us that we walk out here under the power of the anointing of these divine truths. That it becomes so operative in our hearts and our lives, our experience. It becomes so actualized in our experience. As a man thinking in his heart, so is he. Let us think towards with positive faith. Let us remove all things that is negative. Let us take these principles and apply them, Father, and see positive results come forth. May we work by these laws and achieve the spiritual things that we desire of Thee. We thank you for it. Blessed be your name. Thank you for sure promises. Promises that are yea and amen. We give glory to you who is faithful, who promised, who is not slack concerning your promises. And we pray for faith and patience so we can inherit these promises. Hallelujah. The Son abideth in their house forever. May we not be a servant of unbelief. May we be a son in our own house. To rule over our house. The servant don't rule. But the son rule in the house. Hallelujah. As we leave from this place to go, may we go filled with the understanding and filled with the faith from the revelation of these truths, Lord. Knowing that your promises are true. And may we go with the expectation. And Lord, as we come tomorrow to exercise more in it, I pray that the Holy Spirit will produce such positive results that we will not be in a shadow of a doubt by actual experience how true your word is. And may we, Lord, from this living realization go from victory unto victory. Grant it, Lord. Take us safe to all different places, we pray. We commit everyone to your hands now, asking your precious and gracious blessings upon us all. For we pray and believe and receive what we ask for. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith can calm the troubled sea. Faith can bring the desert like a fountain. Faith will have the victory. Let us sing a little bit prayerfully, meaningfully, with real faith in our hearts before we go. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the answer. I just believe that His word is so real. It's so true. May God create in us hearts of deep, rich faith, that the word will find such fertile soil to bring forth. And may we know the same with that soil that receives and holds that word, which has the life in it. And that soil so nurtures and gives nourishment and support to that seed that's inside of it. And see that seed bring forth that is planted in good ground. So may we hold that seed, that we could see that seed working effectually inside of us. We could see that seed becoming operative inside of us. That we know we hold the rich promise of God's word inside of us. Know that that is what you hold. That is what you receive by a revelation. That is what you pack within your heart. As it says, our eyes fixed, we hear it, and we enshrine it in our hearts. So, give your ear to it, be attentive to it, keep your eyes fixed on it, and enshrine it within your heart. And all your flesh shall be made well. Whether it's a tumor, whether it's a cataract, whether it's a cancer, whatever it is, it shall be made well. That's God's word. That's God's promise. That's God's principle. That is God's revealed way, laying inside of there. And the Holy Spirit leading us to find it, to give it to you, that by taking it, you can unlock the way to receive everything that God makes available to you. Go and be glad. Go rejoicing. Go like when Jesus tells them lepers, go and show yourself to the priests. And he's walking with the leprosy, but no man was supposed to go and show himself to the priest if he wasn't clean, to take back his place in society. And Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. Oh my! They was going with the symptoms, but you know something, that's going with his word in their heart. He wasn't going with them. He sent his word and healed them. Is that right? You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. I believe it. I see you free. Amen. You pack it in your heart. Our little sister, right, they're going blind. But it's the word. Receiving it inside of the air. Walking and praising God. Have enough power to move back every hindrance. And see clear like me and you right here. Sure! Believe it. Every one of us. And the more we take a little more, and show by the grace of God in the word, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that these things are for us. When we get a hold of it, we will see a strong church. We desire to see a strong home. We desire to see strong individual lives. We desire to see a strong church. But it must start with you. Your desire to see yourself become strong first. then you become a strong block in the building. Then you're right there as part of the pillar in your home. Part of the foundation block that makes up the pillar in your own home. And then your home as part of the pillar that holds up the whole church, the whole building. But you right there as one of the blocks, you want to be a solid block. You want to see it real in you first. Then it'll be real in your home. Then it'll be real in the church. But get fixed into it and watch it come to pass by the grace of God. Amen? Or take it with purpose in your heart. Don't forget the family prayer. Amen? By the grace of God. Faith in God. Faith in... That's our confession. Can move. We believe in our hearts, we confess with our mouths. Mighty mountain, it can come. The troubled sea, it can be. The dead. Like a fountain, faith can bring the victory. Have faith in God. Have faith. Or you sing that to your own soul. Have faith. Speak to your soul. Have faith in God for the answer. Oh, yes, he's so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. To me, the individual, you who believe in him and trust in him, let's lift our hands in, for he answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. I love him so. Faith works by love now. Love is based on trust. I love him so.